ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। We'll read the topic, how to gain wisdom. Yeah, Shweta, you can read.
How to gain wisdom. The world today is afflicted with binding principles and percepts. People are forced to abide by artificial rules of conduct. Mechanical adherence to external rules and regulations cannot change their inner nature. Even threats and punitive actions will not mend matters. Instead, that would suppress their minds, frustrate them. Religious dogmas and doctrines thrust upon the masses cannot bring about spiritual development. The way to go about it is to instill the knowledge of the inner self. That would eradicate sorrow and misery and ensure enduring peace and happiness. The process takes a while. One cannot gain it overnight. Even building the physical body takes time. Developing positive emotions involves more time and effort. While intellectual education takes years, from kindergarten to graduation. Thus, spiritual edification requires far more time, effort, endurance. That explains why people are disinclined to pursue spiritual knowledge. They do not want to set aside time for learning and deeper import of life, the higher values of living. They are averse to effort and exertion, unwilling to strive and struggle by following the herd blindly. But that does not help them. Consequently, the mass of humanity remains unspiritual and are harnessed by the trials and tribulations of the world.
So, I mean, all he wants to say is that there is no such thing as do's and don'ts. Animals need training because they don't have the intellect. Human beings have the intellect, so they need to be educated. And education simply does not mean just cramming of information, but gaining the wisdom and developing the intellect so that your intellect chooses wisely in the context. So there are no such thing as do's and don'ts. That doesn't mean there are no do's and don'ts. Since your do's and don'ts are determined by your buddhi. What is do for you need not be do for another person. Or what is do for another person need not be do for you. You understand? So therefore he says, there are no do's and don'ts. You know, all you need to do is gain the knowledge. So he says the way to go about it is to instill the knowledge of the inner self. That would eradicate the sorrow and misery. It's not like you take up the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavad Gita will say, okay, you do this. Don't do this from morning till night, then you will be fine. Nothing like that. You may be an extremely disciplined person in life, but you may still go through suffering because you may be attached to your own disciplines and that itself might give you agitation. So therefore, you've got to gain the knowledge and strengthen your intellect. That alone, he says, would eradicate the sorrow and misery. Nothing else will eradicate. And that alone will give you peace and happiness, which is enduring, not passing and fleeting. So then he says, but to develop the intellect takes time. Who has the patience and perseverance to, you know, in life to give to strengthen the buddhi? We all want to just go into some short-term courses, you know. Actually, in modern context, it's even more befitting because nowadays, even if your lectures are uploaded on YouTube, which is for 1 hour, hardly anybody can listen to it for 1 hour. They want shorts video. Shorts video is less than 59 seconds. You know, so not even 1 minute. Some are even just 15 seconds, 30 seconds. people do not want to put in effort. They don't have patience. They don't want to wait for the results. They want to get everything on a platter and quick, immediate results. So that's why he says, you know, even to build a physical body takes time. Developing positive emotions involves more time and effort, while intellectual education takes years. See, in the olden time, how they did in the Gurukula system was, when the child was around 7, the child was taken to the Guru and introduced to the Guru, and then 12 years minimum the child was with the Guru. Learned the worldly science as well as the inner science. So, 12 long years they had spent, and they gained this knowledge along with the worldly knowledge, and then they came out and they lived. The principles taught, and they earned money, they survived, and they took their mind beyond the worldly things and then dedicated themselves for the enlightenment. But there's a lot of time and effort involved. Something gross itself takes so much time, like physical body. You know, you see this movie, the movie actors, some of them, suddenly in the same movie itself, for example, they might have to lose weight and they might have to put on weight, bulk, muscles, this, that, and all that kind of roles they play. They put in tremendous effort and it takes a long time. You know, it's not something that they get easily. They put in a lot of effort. So that's what he's saying. People do not want to go in for this training, which is helpful for them. When you come to spiritual edification, it takes much more time. It's not just developing the intellect. It's purification of the mind, strengthening the intellect, and directing your mind towards the higher. So he says, that explains why people are disinclined to pursue spiritual knowledge. They do not want to set aside time for learning the deeper import of life. You see, I don't know, this is not so, I mean, it's known in the north, but not so much like in the south, that going to Ayyappa Mandir, Ayyappa temple. No, in the south, huge following is there. It started in Kerala, but Ayyappa temple is in Kerala. Then, Tamil Nadu, Andhra, Karnataka and all, if you go, unbelievable number of people go to Ayyappa temple every year. At different times they go. And some of them do proper traditional sadhana and go, that's for about 40 days. For about 40 days, they follow rigorous tapas and then they go to the temple. You visit the temple, 18 steps are there, you climb the 18 steps. Then when you reach the top, what is written there? Tat Tvam Asi. That the what? Then you enter the temple and then you have the darshan of the Lord. Now there are people who fast for lesser time and go also. Not necessarily 40 days. 40 or 48 days they do. Some they do for a shorter period. 1 week, 2 weeks, I think, something like that. So, there are people doing tapas for 40 days, 48 days. There are people doing tapas for 1 or 2 weeks and then going. But even if they go 48 days ke baad, it is still very short period. 48 days you do tapas. You go visit the mandir and have darshan of the Lord. But to have the darshan of the self within, it's a lifelong tapas. How many of us are ready to dedicate that? So that's why spiritual edification takes a lot of time. They do not want to set aside time for learning the deeper import of life, the higher values of living. since it involves a lot of time, your mind can lose interest and mind can get tempted by the worldly things. Therefore, they say, live your life in the world, learn the scriptures, live the life, take your mind completely beyond it and then pursue it full time. So, Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, then only sannyas. So he says, they are averse to effort and exertion, unwilling to strive and struggle for the truth, and would rather choose the easy way out, following the herd blindly. But that does not help them. Consequently, the mass of humanity remains unspiritual. They may be religious, but unspiritual. There's a difference between being religious, being spiritual. You will be more and more independent if you are spiritual. If you are religious, you need not necessarily be independent. So therefore, consequently, the mass of humanity remains unspiritual and are harassed by the trials and tribulations of the world. They continue. And after this, they'll go to some other temple. After that, they'll go to some other temple. But all short duration. Navratra, 9 days. Just 9 days, you know. In fact, some people were giving us idea. And this time, Sanandaji's lecture, we had it 12 days before, 13 days before Diwali. And people said, yara, this is not the time to act. Why? Everybody goes to play cards and all. So who's going to get up and come to your class? Nobody will come. Now, the idea they gave was, you should do it during Shraddha time. Before that, Navratra. Because that time people are generally not so indulgent. So, we keep it that time. Then more people will come. Because when I heard that first, it was a little, you know, funny for me. Yeah? During, even 15 days before, 14 days before Diwali, you keep. For everything, we have some attachment or the other. So, during Shraddha time is a general time where people are, you know, little bit thinking spiritually, not of indulgent mindsets, for whatever reasons. So that's the time you should keep the lecture. So in other words, unless and until you gain the knowledge and reveal the self from within as much as you can, there is no redemption for you from the sorrows, from the trials and tribulations of life. You can go from place to place, temple to temple, gurus to gurus. This guru is not enough. It's okay. I have to shift my guru now. Okay, shift. No problem. You can shift gurus. You can shift books. You can shift temples. You can even shift your religion. Some people do that. They go from this religion to that religion and that religion to this religion. You do what you want. Unless and until. This thing we need to understand. The Bhagavad Gita says, Nahi jnanena sadrisham. There is nothing else other than jnanam that will purify you. That will take you away from samsara. In fact, the word Upanishad means that which removes samsara. That which removes samsara in the sense, what Vedanta wants to say is, due to ignorance, you have created your own samsara. You see, I've given this example before, but it's an apt example, so I'm repeating it. And I used to live in Dubai lecturing. A lot of class members who have been living there for so many years, they, when they become like 60 or so, they have to retire. Engineers, I think 67 or something. Some time period is there. After that, now they have to go back. Because even if you lived for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years in Dubai, you won't get Indian citizenship. I'm sorry, UAE citizenship. You will continue having Indian passport. Even if you are born there. In America, it's just different thing. If you are born there, you will get American citizenship. If you are born in UAE, you would still continue to be an Indian only. So now, they will have passport issued in Dubai, but Indian passport. Okay. So all these people, after living there for so many years, once their work is over, they have to leave the country. Now they are not comfortable coming back to India after having gone through the comfortable life there, luxury life there. Coming here, they are finding it difficult. One is the comforts. Other is the, you know, they have all along lived independently without relatives bothering them that much. If you come here, minimum too many invitation cards are there for you to attend wedding during November to February. One is in Noida, one wedding, other one is Gurugram. Then, you know, and in between you are hungry, you don't know what to do here and there. You keep running. So they feel, why should I go back to India? But they can't stay there. So what to do? Okay, let me go to Canada. Let me go to New Zealand. Let me go to Australia. Wherever they can go, they'll go. So some people, they talk to me, say, sir, I'm leaving. They have applied for that. We got it. They're now going to Canada. They're very, very happy. And if you actually, some of them do mention, not everyone, but some of them do mention, you know, it makes sense to go to Canada than India, sir. I said, okay. If it makes sense, please go. It's okay. And then they themselves say, you know, children ka education 12th tak free hai. Phir, health is also free in Canada. You get health free, you get children's education free till 12th. And then if you are in a particular state and you go to college in the same state, you get 1/3 only fee you have to pay. So basically they want to say that there's so much of privilege, excellent comfort there, and we would like to go there, therefore we are going. Something like that they'll say. All the time is analyzed. This is free, that is free. We get to save money there. We don't have to pay. We don't have to give. The whole concept is taking, taking, taking. You go to Canada. It's a beautiful place, no doubt. Similarly, India is a beautiful place. India has its own beauty. Some of the things that you get in India, you won't get there. It's always pros and cons everywhere. So it's not as though people in Canada are not happy or everybody in Canada are happy. Similarly, it's not as though people in India are not happy or everybody in India are happy. It's to do with your mind. It's nothing to do with the place. Please understand this. Yat karoshi yadashnasi yajju hoshi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat purushva madarpana. Beautiful shloka in 9th chapter is Sri Krishna. Yat karoshi yadashnasi yajju. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you give, do it as a dedication to me. Meaning the totality. Not to the I within the individual self, ego. If your focus is all the time upon I, me, myself, my family, you go to Canada, you go to any place, it doesn't matter. You will be having agitation. Nobody can say. Nothing wrong with Canada, nothing wrong with New Zealand, nothing wrong with Australia, nothing wrong with India also. Everywhere there is pros and cons. The moment the winter starts, most of the time it's winter only in Canada. It is terribly cold in Toronto and Edmonton and all. And the fellows start complaining. And then 40% tax, 45% tax. So what do you want to do? You want to leave your children in Canada and quietly sneak out of the country and go and work in UAE. The mentality is what you do not want to give to you. See, I'm not saying this to complain, please. I am nobody to judge anybody. even if there is an ounce of judgment in me, I will go through karma. Whoever it is, I have to go through karma. I will go through karma. I am sitting on this seat, I have to say a few things. That's what I am saying. That's why in the end we chant, Ayana Vacha Manase Deva. If I have said anything wrong, please forgive me. You understand. Then people, you know, when I was in UAE, it's a beautiful country. Amazing leader they had in Sheikh Zayed. He was a great, great leader. Sheikh Zayed was the ruler of Abu Dhabi and the president of UAE. Very, very good man. Outstanding leadership. He passed away. I lived there 6 years. By the time I lived 4 years or so, he passed away. He was old and he passed away, and people were like, you could see that how many people really felt somebody from their own family died. It's a nice country. They take care of you very well. Because you have to follow their rules. Any country you go, you have to live by their laws. You can't go and say, this is wrong, that is wrong. So none of your business. So if you don't abide by the laws, of course, the punishments are strict there. Otherwise, it's a beautiful country in many ways. Everything was free that time. Parking was absolutely free. And they also want money. Huh? Abu Dhabi only has petrol. Dubai doesn't have petrol there. So they introduced parking, I remember. Immediately everybody started parking there. 1 hour, 1 dirham, 2 hours, 4 dirhams, 3 hours, 10 dirhams, something like that. Oh my God, this is bad. You are not paying single tax. You are earning more than what you are earning in India. If a doctor was earning 1 lakh here, he'll earn 4-5 lakhs there. And single, what do you call, tax you are not paying, single money as tax, single paisa as tax. The little bit they're charging for parking, you do not want, why they want to do that? Because, for example, we come to class in Mamtaji's house. Supposing there's no parking inside the house, you have to park outside. If parking fee is there, you will do your business and get out fast. Otherwise, the fellows say, aur bolo, aur bata do. Are, kuch bhi nahi bolne ka. But you just want to sit because kuch bhi nahi na, free. So, they introduce parking fee and everybody is complaining. You have a chance now to give. Now we had Diwali. So many people work in our houses. They are also part of our family, no? You understand? You have so many people working in your kitchen, in your this thing, that thing, drivers. They are also part of your extended family. They also should have a nice Diwali. So, you know, joyfully give. That's how these celebrations are to be celebrated. Not grudgingly, are yaar, Diwali aa gaya, kya kare, dena padega. Then might as well don't. If you have such thoughts, supposing you have such thoughts, all I'm saying is, it doesn't matter. You can be sitting inside the temple 24/7. You have that mentality, you will suffer. That's what he wants to say. Knowledge means light. You bring in that light, all these negativities go. Selfishness goes. Selfishness goes. And when the moment selfishness and egoistic attitude goes, you will start enjoying the bliss from within. You have to taste it. The more you taste it, it's difficult for you to go back and be selfish. That's why he says, knowledge alone will redeem. Nothing else will redeem. Nahi jnanena sadrisham. That shloka very clearly says, there is pavitramiha, he says. Means, only knowledge will make you pure. Pure means free from all this malam, all this dirt. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya, bhaya. That all this goes, you feel, you'll be free from suffering. So that knowledge doesn't mean book knowledge. Knowledge means wisdom. It is stupidity to hold on. Nothing you can actually hold on. So, the more and more knowledge goes in, you will start becoming more and more vulnerable, but conscious vulnerability. There is a difference between conscious vulnerability and unconscious vulnerability. Like plants are unconscious. They grow wherever they are exposed to heat, they are exposed to wind, they are exposed to rain, they are exposed to so many people who may pluck the plant or pluck the flowers and throw. They are exposed to everybody. There is no protection for them. But they live their life unfettered. Whether the flower that will, first of all, whether the flower will blossom. If the flower blossoms, will it become part of a garland or not? If it becomes part of a garland, will the garland be ending up on the Lord's idol or a dead body? No worries. You understand? Simply blossoms may end up wherever, may not end up anywhere else. That's so vulnerable. But we are, everywhere we try to use our intelligence and protect ourselves, and we get bound by our own intelligence. The intelligence that binds you is actually ignorance. The intelligence that frees you is real knowledge. Please understand the difference. So therefore, he says, they are harassed by the trials and tribulations of the world. Continue, please.
A child touches a hot plate and screams. It has no knowledge of fire and heat. Educate the child. Acquaint it with knowledge of fire. It will never get close to it again. So does humanity need the knowledge of life, the fundamental principles of living, the spiritual laws that govern humans and their relations with the world. Spiritual knowledge would remove the stress and strain of life, lead humanity towards peace and bliss.
This is an example of child. The child doesn't know that the vessel is hot, the plate is hot. Ignorantly, the child touches and screams. The moment the child comes to know, the child will stop touching. So what is the hot plate here referring to? Child obviously referring to whom? To us. Okay. Spirituality. When you come to spirituality, all the masters across all the scriptures you will see invariably addressing us as children. Balaha. Sage Ashtavakra is 12 years old. And King Janaka, I don't know how old was he when he met Ashtavakra ji. At least 60 years old he must have. And there, when you read Ashtavakra Gita, you will see where Ashtavakra ji is telling Janaka, my son. He is only 12 years old. The guru is 12 years old. Shishya is around 60. And the guru is addressing Shishya as, are beta, you know, like that. In other words, we are children. So what is the heart plate referring to? What is the heart plate referring to? Huh?
Sansar or the world, life.
No, world, nothing wrong. What is the heart plate?
The temptations?
No.
Ego.
Correct. The ego. The false personality. wrong identification. Nothing wrong with the world. You have the right identification with the Atma and then relate, world cannot affect you. You think you are Shweta, you are doing everything, I am the doer, I have to bring up my son. Me karna, aham karta. You know. Shweta, just an example, I am taking your name. It's freedom. Nothing to do with Shweta. It's true with anybody. Shweta has only one son, right? Those days, I also have one son. Those days, everybody had some 15, 16, 17 people at home. Children. They had so many children. And they used to have joint family. You know, all the brothers staying to, already the brothers are 6, 7 people. Each brother having some 10 children. So it used to be one small town. Every house is a small town. Nobody knows who is in the house, who is outside. You know, somehow they were taken care of. Somehow they live. Forget about this knowledge. There is no time for them to even think who is at home, who is outside, what has happened to them. They were happy. Nowadays, we have one son, one daughter. Oh my God, the stress is 10 times, 20 times more. Because a lot more doership, full attention upon that child. Mera bachcha. Whatever championships I could not win, that fellow should win. You understand? There is so much of doership ego in us. Obviously, you will not enjoy. So the hot plate is what? The doership. Aham karta. I am this Shweta. I am this Lakshmi Narayan. This individual. That is really the madness. And we are identifying with it and we are suffering. What Vedanta does is, it simply gives the right knowledge about yourself so that you take away that it, the hot plate is not there only. Why will you touch it? Madness. There is nothing like that. That's all Vedanta does. So this knowledge will take away the ego. And you enjoy. You will be in bliss. Continue this.
An essential prerequisite for acquiring knowledge is awareness of one's ignorance. You must become conscious of your ignorance concerning the spiritual aspect of life. Without being conscious of your limitation, you have little chance of learning. But people the world over believe they have the knowledge already. Josh Billings drives home this truth. The trouble with most folks is not so much their ignorance as their knowing so many things that ain't so. It is futile to try and instill knowledge into a person who firmly believes he knows it all. Therefore, if you wish to acquire knowledge, you must keep the shutters of learning wide open. Recognize your areas of ignorance. Be ever ready to receive more and more knowledge. Your pursuit of knowledge ends only with the discovery of the self.
So, the prerequisite to gain knowledge is awareness of one's ignorance. And in the area of ignorance, you must surrender. Now, in India especially, we go to the chemist and tell him, give me this tablet. I'm having this problem, give me this tablet. And we go to the doctor and tell him, please give me this tablet. You are ignorant in that field. You have no idea what is wrong with you. It's just because you are having headache doesn't mean it is just an ordinary headache. It can be ordinary headache, it can be something else. So in the area of ignorance, you must surrender. So you must be aware, this is the area in which I am ignorant. I go and surrender there. I don't go and tell him what to do. Similarly, in the area of life and living, we are ignorant. We need to become aware of the fact that I am ignorant. I don't know. And surrender to the scriptures, gurus, and learn. All is this. The trouble with most folks is not so much their ignorance, but their knowing so many things which ain't so. The problem is not ignorance. The problem is knowing. Meaning, not being aware of the fact that you are ignorant. Thinking that you know how to handle life and suffer. Therefore, he says, recognize your areas of ignorance. Be ready to receive more and more knowledge through surrendering your intellect. Sit at the Guru's feet. Learn. Strengthen the intellect. Surrender the intellect doesn't mean stop thinking. Your pursuit of knowledge ends only with the discovery of the self. So continue this pursuit till you realize the self. Till then, don't stop. Continue.
Acquisition of knowledge is not mere cramming or information from external sources. Presently, a person is reputed to be learned when he is acquainted with the thoughts and ideas of others, equipped with the knowledge contained in textbooks and teachers. Few realize that true education springs from oneself. The word educate etymologically means to draw out. Knowledge has to be drawn out of you, not pushed in. Luminaries like William Shakespeare or Herbert Spencer derive their wisdom from within themselves. You need to study their works to graduate from university. But neither Shakespeare nor Spencer was a graduate. Someone asked Spencer if he was a voracious reader. He instantly quipped, "No, sir, if I were as big a reader as others, I would have been as big an ignoramus as others." Thus, men of wisdom have been original, independent thinkers. The knowledge laid down by them is no doubt great, but it does not become yours until you contemplate upon it, assimilate, absorb it.
So, cramming of others' knowledge is not knowledge. You must convert it into wisdom within. That's the whole idea he's telling him. Simply because you read one book and you got the ideas, now it doesn't become your knowledge. Till the time you have actually realized that you are Atma, you knowing that you are Atma from the scriptures makes no difference to your life. It's exactly like reading the menu and not eating the food. That is not going to remove the hunger. Only when you eat the food, your hunger will go. You're seeing the menu. You are not going to become free from hunger. Similarly, cramming information, which is others' experience. People fight, you know. Advaita is the correct philosophy. No. Dvaita is the correct philosophy. No. Vishishta Dvaita. Why bother here? Why don't you find out? Why you want to be part of any groups? First of all, the lesser the number of groups in which you are in WhatsApp shows that you are more spiritual. Nowadays, you know, so many groups. This group, that group. So, in other words, we all like to be part of groups. Especially in knowledge also. Everybody repeats, yeah. He knows the entire Gita. So what? Nothing is going to happen. See, the Gita was given the way it is to be given to Arjuna. If it was somebody, some other student, the way it was presented would have been different. Because Sri Krishna is giving the knowledge from his own personal enlightenment. So that's why he says, just reading books only keeps you more ignorant. The test of knowledge is independence. The test of knowledge is unburdening yourself. The more and more attachments are there, the less knowledgeable you are. As you become more and more knowledgeable, attachments will reduce. So the knowledge won't become yours till you contemplate upon it, till you reflect upon it, till you think about it and then apply it in your life and verify it. It won't become yours. Therefore, he says, please put in that effort. Continue.
The basic concept of education has been lost. Education has come to mean mere acceptance of past thoughts and ideas. An unquestioning obeisance. An unquestioning obeisance to authority. More so with regard to religious doctrines and dogmas. Religion has been reduced to fanatic beliefs, fiendish superstitions, and mechanical rituals. These parasitic practices have led humanity to extreme fundamentalism, and the religious fundamentalisms are destroying the world. Religious texts are no doubt products of revelations of realized souls, but people have blindly accepted them without spending thought and reflection upon them. Few have an understanding of the subject. The blind are leading the blind. This has crippled the modern society. Preceptors and precepts of the past are taken more on trust rather than knowledge and understanding. A child grows into a particular faith even before it becomes an adult. And adults too have lost their power of reasoning. There is hardly any study, reflection or research on the truths governing life. The world faces a total stagnation in the field of religion. The soul of religion has been slain and people are hugging on to its carcass.
See, in this portion, what he wants to say is, see, for example, Bhagavad Gita was a conversation between Sri Krishna and Arjuna. Both of them were alive, and the conversation was between the student and teacher asking question, answering in each one's presence. Dynamics are completely different. Now, it's a knowledge that was given in the past for us. Now, if you simply take the knowledge, it's coming from the past. Now, what you have to do is, you have to now become an Arjuna, seeker. Then only the words will become alive. Then a Krishna will become Jagrat there. Otherwise, you are just reading the words. It will not be the same. It won't be the same. When you become Arjuna, a Krishna will automatically come there. Then the words will have the same dynamism which it had before. Otherwise, you are just sitting and reading past, everything. You have this belief also. Something past means very, very good. In me, somehow surviving for so many years. No. He says the basic concept of education has been lost. It has just become mere acceptance of the past thoughts and ideas without questioning. So you must start questioning, understanding, putting it into practice, verifying whether it is still relevant, and then accept it. Then you are giving life to those words. See, those words had life because the lively guru was behind it. Now the book, when you read the printed book, it is just a dead words. So you have to make that words become alive. That's only possible through question. That's all he says. Please continue.
Great spiritual masters of the past gave out certain aspects of the truth, but no individual master could possibly cover the whole truth. Just as one scientist, however great, cannot present the entire subject of science, Science is an amalgamation, is an amalgam of the knowledges contributed by numerous scientists. So it is with Vedanta. Vedanta is the ultimate philosophy laid down by several savants and sages who are realized souls. Later on, individual masters brought in several religions only to preserve and present the supreme truth, like the husk does to the grain. But people all over have gathered the husk and discarded the grain. There is hardly any reasoning left in the world. To locate a person thinking rationally today is finding a needle in a haystack. People need to go beyond the husk and get to the grain, approach the truths of life with reason and judgment. The sages gained the knowledge through their own effort, through reflection, contemplation, and meditation. They do not claim any supernatural power descending upon them. They made it clear that it is the prerogative of every human being to discover his supreme self. The power that they possessed resides in you as well. If they had derived spiritual energy from the original source within themselves, so can you. It is the birthright of a human. You must educate yourself to the original truths of life. Study them carefully. Analyze them logically. Experiment with them in your life. Accept those that prove themselves. Then knowledge sinks into you, becomes your own, makes you spiritually wise. Thereafter, those truths manifest in your thought, word, and deed. You lead a spiritual life.
So in these two paragraphs, what is saying? What he's saying is, great spiritual masters of the past gave out certain aspects of truth. See, the thing is, if you watch the world, if you see the world through the window, you won't be able to see the entire world. First of all, your eyes are limited. Then the windows have a boundary. You can't experience the whole world. Similarly, the truth is vast. So when a master presents, it's one aspect that is being present, a few aspects that is being present. It's not complete. They have done the sadhana, they have revealed the knowledge, and the moment they are trying to express the infinite through the finite, lots are lost. What comes out is very little. Very, very little. No? So therefore, people stick to that, and that also over a period of time they start interpreting it wrongly. Therefore, he says, don't become attached to any scripture per se or masters per se. Gain the knowledge, make it your own. That's all he wants to say in these two paragraphs. Simply repeating somebody else's information doesn't make you intelligent. Then a tape recorder will do a better job. Tape recorder will do a much, much better job. Therefore, he says, experiment with them in your life after studying, reflecting. Whatever sounds logical, experiment that in your life. Once having tested the veracity of it, then accept it. He says, then the knowledge will sink in you, makes you spiritually wise. Thereafter, those truths manifest in your thought, word, and deed. Then only it will come out in your thought, word, and deed. Otherwise, it will just sit inside you as memory only, which you can keep quoting and boring people here and there. Continue.
Lord Buddha has cautioned humanity over 2,500 years ago on the important role of reason in human life. Do not believe what you have heard. Do not believe in tradition because it is handed down many generations. Do not believe in anything that has been spoken of many times. Do not believe because the written statements come from some old sage. Do not believe in conjecture. Do not believe in authority or teachers or elders. But after careful observation and analysis, when it agrees with reason, and it will benefit one and all, then accept it and live by it.
So So these few lines given by Lord Buddha is very, very pertinent. He says, do not believe what you have heard. Do not believe in tradition because it's handed down many generations. Because it's coming from so many generations doesn't mean it has to be correct. Therefore, don't blindly believe in it. Do not believe in anything that has been spoken of many times. Repeated many times, it doesn't mean it will become true. When they give us a name, the naming ceremony, they call out our name few times, no? Isn't it? In the years they come and say that name. And then everybody keeps calling you and that has become you now. We are not that name, but we have become that now because of repeatedly hearing. Many times. That's why they do this in the advertisements, you know. They just simply repeat the name of the product. If it's a soap, all you need is a soap. But they repeat that name 1,000 times, only that name comes to your head. Soap doesn't come. So, and they repeat the same advertisement again and again and again and again. So it gets into you. Do not believe because the written statements come from some old sage. Something is coming from a great Mahatma. It has to be true. Mahatma may not be lying. It's very interesting. There's one particular text in Tamil. It's called Abhirami Andad. It has 1,000 verses in it. I mean, sorry, 100 verses. Anda Adi. Anda Adi means the first shloka's last word will be the first word of the next shloka. Andam Adi. Adi means beginning, Andam means end. So the last word of the first shloka will be the first word in the next shloka. So you go to the last word of the last shloka, which is the 100th shloka, will be the first word of the first shloka. So it's like a garland. No? Andadi, Abhirami Andadi. It was given by a great seer. And the story, I don't know how far the story is true, but Abhirami Andadi is there for us to see now. Apparently, that seer was in meditation. There is a different kind of sadhana. There are different sadhanas. One is, you do sadhana externally. You have a idol, you do puja. Other is, you do the same thing mentally. See, now, you get up in the morning. Then you brush your teeth. Then you sit down and study for 1 hour. Then you make your cup of tea, have your tea, sit in the balcony, have your tea. Then go out for a walk for an hour or so. Come back, shower. Like that, the whole day you do something. Supposing you are arrested and put in 6x6 cell. Huh? What walking will you go for 1 hour? Where will you go? You understand? 6x6 cell you are arrested in. What will you do? They have arrested you physically. Can they arrest you mentally? No. Now the same schedule you can go through mentally. There's a series, no? Book series, chicken soup series. Huh? In one of the books, chicken soup, one of the book, there is a story like this. During Second World War or so, one guy was caught as a prisoner of war. He is arrested, he is put inside 6x6 cell. And initially he was feeling miserable. What has happened to me? He had a fantastic life to play golf every day, etc. Now he is in 6x6 cell, he was so agitated. And then one day he decided, listen, by sitting and agitating myself, I'm not going to better my life anyway. Whenever they leave me only, I can get out now. So he decided he will live the same life like he used to live before, but now mentally. So he every day mentally used to play golf for 4 hours, 5 hours. This is how he trained it since. He sit down, mentally think that he is now getting ready to go to the golf club. Then he goes there. He says hi to everybody. He meets his friends. 4 of them get together and then they tee off. And like that, everything he used to imagine, visualize. So like that, he passed many days. And physically, he got emaciated because he was not having nutritious food. Somehow he was just surviving with what little they gave. And when he was ultimately freed after so many years, he came out and he went to the golf course one day. And first shot when he took his club and hit the ball. The ball was on the fairway. It didn't go into the bush. The shot was so straight. It did not go to the distance because he was not having strength. Earlier, if he used to hit 250 yards or 300 yards, now he couldn't hit that long. He probably hit 150. But the ball went straight. What is the reason? He's mentally playing golf every day. Visualizing. The power of mind, power of thought. Visualization. So, if you train your mind, even though physically you are arrested, there are a lot more you can achieve. I am only saying the positive side, but the negative side is you keep on repeating the same thing. You start believing that you know already. Or you start believing that what you know is the truth. People around you also keep repeating the same thing. You will actually start imagining you are living a very pious life. So do not believe in conjecture. Somebody says something you believe. Do not believe in authority or teachers or elders. Doesn't mean he's saying don't respect them. Don't have to blindly believe. Question. If it's, you test it, if you find it verifiable, fine, accept it. Otherwise, no. After careful observation and analysis, if it agrees with reason and it will benefit one and all, then accept it and live by it. If it's true, if it's beneficial, not just for you, for everyone, then take it up. If it's not true, don't take it up. It may be true, but not beneficial, don't have to take it. If it's beneficial only for you, still don't have to take it. Make sure that it's beneficial to everybody. Then accept it. A lot of depth in the words of Lord Buddha. We allow ourselves to be conditioned by the environment, by the people, by everything around us. We give a lot of importance to the collected information. Oh, you have not studied. Supposing you meet Lord Krishna today and he is not able to chant Bhagavad Gita. You will say, "Arey, you are useless fellow." He is the one who gave Bhagavad Gita. But suppose he is not able to chant it now. You will say, "Useless." It's not the chanting of the Gita or lecturing on the Gita. Living those principles. Seeing the truth, being in awareness, not identifying with the ego. That matters a lot more than how many scriptures you know. So it's like saying, when your tiger comes in front of you, will you take the gun and shoot or will you just say that I have license to use guns? Look at this. I've got the license to shoot. No tiger is going to listen to you. Take the gun and shoot. In other words, in the living knowledge, there is more power than in the past information. We'll continue the rest next week. Let's conclude now. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Buddhyatmana Va Prakrite Swabhava Karomi Adya Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayeti Samarpayami. Priyam.